Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 33. Please stand in honor of God's word. Hear now the word of God. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses at the openings of the gates of the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, like the storm and your destruction comes like the whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. May God speak to us through his word. Please be seated. In this passage, wisdom is a lady. She's personified as a woman who cries out in the open square. She calls at the gates of the city in the marketplace. And I want you to notice that wisdom is not hidden. She's not secret. She's not privately hiding somewhere off in the corner, giving her wisdom only to the few, the intelligentsia, those who are the special few. But she's calling out in the marketplace, and her wisdom is accessible to all. To all who would turn, and to all who would hear. From ancient times, there's been sects, groups, who had some kind of secret wisdom. The Gnostics were famous for this, the mystery religions of the first century. They had this secret wisdom, and they were willing to dispense that to whoever would become one of their initiates. You join their club, you join their crowd, they would give you this secret wisdom. If you had this secret wisdom, then you could live a happy and healthy life. But wisdom is not like that. Lady Wisdom offers her wares to everyone, out in the open, ready. Whoever will listen, she'll speak to. She doesn't hide things for those folks who are willing to pay the price or whatever it is to be initiated into her group. The invitation of wisdom is for all men. And notice she doesn't offer her wisdom to the elite or the smart or the people who are really bright. She offers it to just the opposite. Her wisdom is offered to those who love simplicity. She's speaking specifically to those who are simple. She says, you simple ones who love simplicity, you fools who love your folly, you scorners who delight in scorning. She speaks specifically to people who don't have much wisdom at all, and she offers to them this gracious gift of wisdom. She says, turn. Turn in here and listen, and I will give you my spirit. And you will learn from my words. She offers this to all men. And so we see that the offer of wisdom, the offer really of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to all men, everywhere. And we should never consider that somebody is beyond the pale of the gospel, that, oh, they would never believe. They would never come to Christ. They would never trust in him, and so we don't speak to them. But wisdom offers her wares to the most unlikely folks, the simple, the fool, the scorner. She offers wisdom to them. and says, listen, turn, and I will pour out my Spirit upon you. Because ultimately, really, the only thing that's going to change anybody is the Spirit of the living God. If God's Holy Spirit does not move in them through the working of His Word, they're not going to come. But if He does move, He can take the worst wretch and make him a faithful disciple. That's the way God works. I've met several people in my life who said, I don't want to trust in Christ yet. I don't want to give my life to Christ yet because I've got to clean some things up first. I've got to work some things out. I've got to fix some things in my life before I would become a believer or before I would come to church or wherever else, however they understand it. They've got this idea they've got to clean themselves up. But wisdom doesn't require that. She says, turn. Lady Wisdom says, turn at my rebuke and I will give you my Spirit. It's the Spirit of God who cleans up men. It's His Spirit. He's the one who changes men and cleans them up. You don't have to clean up to come to Him. The Spirit of God cleans you and gives you understanding of His Word. Look at verse 23. Turn at my rebuke, and surely I will pour out my Spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Wisdom does not say, get your life together and then come to me. Get your act together and then come to me. She says, turn. Turn at my rebuke, and I will give you my Spirit. I will give you understanding. I will make you to be faithful. And so we see, it's like, well, I've heard the story one time of a lady who decided that she needed a woman to help her clean her house. She wanted to have this lady come in and clean her house. She was busy and everything. And every time before the lady would come, she would clean. And her husband would say, what are you doing? We're paying this lady to come clean the house. And you, every time before she's going to come, you clean the house. And she says, I don't want her to see it dirty. I don't want her to think these things about me. And that's sort of like the person who wants to clean their act up before the cleaning lady comes. God is the one who cleanses. We turn at His rebuke, and He cleanses us. We don't clean ourselves up. And so we're sometimes like the lady who wants to clean up her house before the cleaning lady gets there. So this is the invitation of wisdom. It's an invitation to all, anybody, fool, scoffer, scorner, simple. This invitation is open to all. Come, turn, and I will give you my Spirit. But I have to warn you, if you don't listen to the call, the lady will turn on you. She's brutal. And she will show no mercy to those who scorn her wisdom. Those who refuse to listen to her word, she will brutally deal with. If you turn in your Bible and look at verses 25 to 28, you'll see a piece of her brutality. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like the storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they'll call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. She's a brutal lady to those who scorn her, to those who refuse to listen to her wisdom. Imagine a group of young people and they're going to the beach. They're going to, you know, going down to Florida and they're going to rent a sailboat and go out on this sailboat. They come to the dock, and there's a lady sitting in a little booth, is the way I picture it. She's sitting in this booth, and she gives the people the keys to get on the boats and everything, and they can take these sailboats out, and they'll rent them for the day. And this group of young people come to her on one morning, and they say, we'd like to rent a sailboat. We'd like to take this sailboat out and go sailing with our friends. We've come a long way. And she says, no. The sky was red this morning. And, of course, we all know, red sky at morning, sailor's warning. She says, there's a chance of storm. You can't take the boat out. And they become angry. They say, well, this is just because you don't want to have fun. We want to have some fun. Just because you've got no life, lady, and you sit in this little booth, we want to go do something fun. Give us the keys. We want to go sailing. So they begin to mock her and scorn her. And then they realize there's only one of her, and there's six of them. We can just take the boat. So they decide to take the boat. They get the keys from her. They go, and they get the boat. And she's calling out to them the whole time as they go, whatever you do, don't leave the bay. Stay in the bay. And make sure you take your life jackets. Life jackets are for sissies. Life jackets aren't cool. Are we going to look cool on the sailboat with our life jacket hanging off? and they're concerned about image, and so they show disdain for her offers. And she says, "Listen to me, listen." But they go on their way, mocking and laughing and scorning. Of course, you know what happens in stories like this that pastors tell. They get out there, and they leave the bay. They left the life jackets. They go out into the deep water. And a little bit later, she sees the thunder clouds on the horizon. She sees the lightning and thunder and knows that there's a storm out at sea, and she gets a panicked call over the radio. And they say, "Help us, help us, Mayday, SOS, whatever you're supposed to say. We're out here drowning. We're going to die. Send somebody to save us." And they hear the lady in the booth say, "There's plenty of wind out there now, isn't there? Enjoy the sailing." And then she begins to laugh. And she begins to mock. And she begins to taunt them. "I told you, I told you. Ah, ha, ha, ha." And the last thing they hear as the ship goes under is the taunting and mocking laughter of the lady in the booth. Sounds brutal, doesn't it? Whereas some of you might have sympathies with the kids. You're thinking, "Man, that mean old lady, why is she doing that to them?" And that's what our culture has taught us. Our sympathy is with the fool who's drowning in his folly. We've been taught to feel really sorry and maybe even feel a little guilty about these idiots who live their lives like fools, reject the wisdom of God, and then destroy themselves. And we're supposed to feel sorry for them. Oh, poor folks. God does not. He will mock them in that day. He holds out this invitation to all. And if they refuse to come, it's their own folly. And when they destroy themselves, we don't need to feel guilty about it or feel sorry for them. Lady Wisdom laughs. She mocks. It seems cruel. But this is wisdom, and this is how Lady Wisdom treats those who despise them. So don't let the guilt manipulators make you feel sorry for every guy who just decides he's going to reject God, reject wisdom, and go destroy himself. You're not responsible for saving all these people. And as the church, it's not our responsibility to rescue all these people either. They'll make you feel guilty. They say, "You ought to do this. You're the church." Well, you have wrecked your life. You've refused to listen. Now we have to show mercy, and we have to be wise. Some people do need a tender, helping hand at certain times, but not everybody. The Proverbs tell us that you rescue a violent man, and you'll have to do it again and again. Sometimes people need to, they've made their bed, they need to sleep in it. Sometimes they've made their mess, they've got to sit in it. And you are not going to help them. You are not going to benefit them by rescuing them from the consequences of their sin. It doesn't help. So we need wisdom, and we pray that God will give us wisdom as we determine whether or not we should rescue the fool or let him sit in his mess. But we see Lady Wisdom's response. We must not buy into this idea that we have to help everyone who asks. The one who doesn't work shouldn't eat. So we have to be wise in dealing with these things as Lady Wisdom is wise. Now there's another truth in here that's very important for us, but it's especially important for our children. The decisions you make today, the decisions you make now, will determine your destiny. The things you do now are going to determine your future and what the particular trajectory of your life will be. These aren't just little decisions. These decisions you make will govern where you go from here. If you make a left here, it will determine your future. The Bible talks about what you sow, you will also reap. Now, if you're a farmer, and you go out into your field and you sow corn, and you put the corn down in the different rows and everything, there's a good chance, Lord willing, that the corn's going to come up. You know one thing's not going to come up is pineapples. Pineapples will not come there. But there's a lot of people out there that think if they plant this corn, pineapples are going to come up. If they plant these things in their life, somehow it's going to be a nice fruit at the end. But it won't be. And if you go out there and you plant eggplant, I don't know why you would, but if you did, but if you planted eggplant, and that's what you're going to get in the end. And so if you don't want eggplant, don't plant it. Don't sow those seeds. Don't make those decisions that will lead you to the eggplant. Or the eggman. Whoever. Don't do those things because the decisions you make now will determine your destiny. And children, you need to listen to Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom is trying to tell you that right here. And young people too. And adults. Trying to tell you right here, the decisions you make, if you make foolish decisions, if you reject wisdom now, it'll come back to haunt you. It will get you eventually. You won't escape. Lady Wisdom is pointing you in the direction of wisdom. And you know, your parents are too. Every day. Daily, your parents are correcting you, they're instructing you, they're training you, they're teaching you, saying, go this way. Trust us. And you may not be able to see. You've lived a short time. You can see maybe a week in advance, but you're not thinking long term, maybe. You're not thinking 30 years from now, what's going to be the result of this? Your parents have seen it. They've seen the people self-destruct. They've seen the helicopter crashes. And they know. They have wisdom. Listen to them. Heed them, or you will be destroyed. There will be calamity at the end. That's the appeal of Lady Wisdom. And if you disregard their instruction, it's like planting poison ivy in your bed. You'll be a rashed up, blistered, itchy little mess at the end. Don't plant those seeds. Heed Lady Wisdom. Heed the wisdom of your parents. Sometimes parents feel like they're correcting children all day long. Moms, you might identify with that. All day long, I've been correcting. Dads come home when they join the group, join the crowd, and they start correcting too. And it's especially with young children. Seems to be a regular occurrence. And children, you may get mad. You may be as tired of the correction as they are. You're tired of being corrected. They're tired of correcting. And you may even get mad. And you bristle. They correct you, and you bristle and get angry. Well, this proverb speaks to you too. Look at verses 30 and 32. Verses 30 to 32. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancy. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. If you resist correction, nobody likes to be corrected. It's not pleasant at the time to be corrected. Chastise is painful. It's never pleasant. But the wise person receives it, accepts it, and is glad for it. If you're corrected and you get angry, and you feel your muscles tense, and you hate or mad at your parents or the authority or whoever it is that corrects you, you're a fool, and Lady Wisdom warns you, you're headed for destruction. They wouldn't listen to her rebuke. They despised her counsel, and so they're going to eat the fruit of their ways. Their own simplicity will slay them. Their own folly will destroy them. And parents, we have a responsibility here too. After those long days of doing this, there's a desire to just lower the standard. Let's lower the standard. This is killing me. But we need to sit back, and first we need to figure out whether or not we should have the standard where it is. And one way we can do this is have a long-term view. Look at the long term. What will be the result if we change the standard? Well, you got an unsubmissive daughter. What's going to be the result in 30 years? You're going to have a very miserable son-in-law. You got a lazy son. What's going to be the result in 30 years? You're going to have an impoverished daughter-in-law. And you look at these things and start thinking long term. These things have to be worked on now. They have to be dealt with now. Don't give up. Be encouraged. And use the rod and whatever other means that God gives you to instruct your children. You have immodest daughters, well, you're going to have results from that too. If you have sons who hit their sister, you're going to have an unhappy daughter-in-law. We need to instill biblical principles in our children, not give up, and don't be discouraged, and pray to God to give you His Spirit and give you patience. Remember, we need to think long-term because they don't. You know, that's just the nature of children and young people. They don't see the end result most of the time. They're not looking that far down the road. And as parents, we have to. We have to be thinking down the road. What's going to be the result of this? What fruit will we get from planting these seeds? And teach our children and not give up. This proverb also tells us something about the affections. You know, you could teach your kids every right thing. You can teach them all the right things, to do the right things, to say these things, act a certain way. But if you don't teach them what they should love and what they should hate, there's a good chance that they're going to go astray. Look at verse 33. Verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. The problem with this young person here in the passage is what he loves and hates. He loves simplicity. He delights in scorning. He hates knowledge. We must not only train our children in the subjects of math, science, history, Bible, all these things. We must teach them what to love, and we must teach them what to hate. They must love the right things, and they must hate the right things. It's not enough just to teach them knowledge. They must learn to love. And most of this training of the affections will happen by example. That's why you can have families who say, well, I thought we did everything right. We did do all this. We checked all the checklist off. And in the end, the kids go astray and say, what happened? Well, what did your children love? Where were their affections? What did you teach them? By example. This comes through without, we most of the time, we don't know we're doing it. We're training their affections. We're training them to love certain things or hate other things. And if you taught your children to love golf more than worship, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus said that. We must teach them to treasure the things that should be treasured and love the things that should be loved. And we must teach them to hate and despise the things that God hates and despises. The training of the affections are important. Now, this proverb is quite negative. Quite negative up to this point, isn't it? She's telling of this terrible calamity and this terrible catastrophe that will come to you if you reject her wisdom. It's very negative up to verse 33. And then in verse 33, she says, but whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. God not only threatens those who refuse to listen to wisdom, he also promises great blessing to those who will heed the Lady Wisdom. The initial benefits of sin look like there might be a reward. You know, you dress immodestly, girls, you might get the guy. Guys, you lie, you might get the job. Okay? There may look like initial benefits to sin, but it always ends up, in the end, to be destruction. And it may look like you're going to suffer for righteousness. The Bible clearly has lots and lots of examples of people who do what's right and suffer for it initially. But in the end, Lady Wisdom promises blessing. She says, "Listen, he who listens to me will dwell in safety without fear of evil." There's an old saying, he who laughs last, laughs best. It may be sorrowful at the beginning to do what's right. It may hurt, it may cause problems for you. But in the end, Lady Wisdom will laugh at you if you go the other direction. And he who laughs last, laughs best. I always hated utilitarian ethics. You may not know what that is. Utilitarian ethics, it's a system of ethics where they try to determine what's good and what's bad by trying to figure out the end. This is the idea that means justifies the end. Have you ever heard somebody say that? They believe, I can sin because it'll bring a good thing about in the end. Lady Wisdom tells us that's a lie. That's a deception. It won't bring about good in the end. It may look like it to you and your short-sightedness, but it won't. Sin will never prosper in the end. But there is a sense in which Lady Wisdom is the ultimate utilitarian. She sees that the end of wisdom, at the end of righteousness, is blessedness. And the very end of sin and folly is destruction and death. And she wants us to think in those terms too, to see the end of our actions and what will come about. She wants us to be utilitarians according to Lady Wisdom's standards. Now I want to look at Jesus. Because all of the scripture points to him. Every bit of it. It all points to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the fulfillment of Lady Wisdom. Wisdom, notice the thing she's saying. She's speaking as God, isn't she? She's personified as a woman because wisdom in the Hebrew is a feminine gender, a feminine noun. But wisdom, Lady Wisdom, ultimately points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in him that we find the fullness of wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, Jesus is the wisdom of God to those who are called. He's wisdom. We see that Jesus didn't speak his message in private, did he? Secret places, little secret gatherings of the disciples and nurses. It says he spoke openly in the temple and the synagogues, just like Lady Wisdom does. We see that Jesus promised his disciples the Holy Spirit, just like Lady Wisdom does. the Spirit that would illuminate and bring to remembrance all His works. And then we see that Jesus told us that if you reject His wisdom, you're headed for destruction. But if you receive His wisdom, if you listen, then you will be blessed. Do you remember the story He told? He said, once there was a man who built his house on the sand. And the winds and the storm came, and his house was completely destroyed. And Jesus says this about that man: everyone who hears these sayings of mine, who hears the wisdom, and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat on the house, and it fell. And great was its fall. If you won't listen to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, and He is speaking to you, if you won't heed His call, you won't escape. You're building your house on the sand, and your fall will be great. But then He also promises, talks about another man, a man who built his house on the solid rock. And He makes a promise concerning this one. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, the one who keeps these commandments, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. Those who listen to me will dwell safely and will be secure without the fear of evil. This is the promise of Jesus. But there's some pressure here. Put a little pressure on. This is not a high-pressure sales approach or anything like that, but it's just the truth. Scripture says there's a limited time to take advantage of this offer. There's a limited time. And there's a time when Lady Wisdom will stop listening to you. There's a time when the gates of heaven will shut to you. And if you continue in that sin, that destructive sin, it will eventually destroy you. And there'll come a point when you call out and she won't listen. And this isn't high pressure. This is just the truth. You can't keep living this way and think that you're going to prosper if you're going to live in rebellion and forsake wisdom. Look at verses 28 and 29 and see the frightening words of Lady Wisdom. After they've rejected her, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. There comes a day when the gate of heaven will be shut to the person who rejects wisdom. Things will fall apart, the life will self-destruct, all the consequences that Lady Wisdom warned of will come about maybe 30 years from now, and you'll say, oh Lord, and there'll be no answer. You'll call out to Lady Wisdom and she won't hear. The gate will be shut. We don't know when that is. That's why the Apostle tells us in Hebrews, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. If you hear the voice of Christ today, don't harden your heart. Don't continue in your folly. Forsake it and turn to Lady Wisdom, and she will pour out her Spirit upon you and make you to understand her word. And always remember, though you may laugh now, though you may mock now, Lady Wisdom will have the last laugh. And he who laughs last, laughs best. Let's pray. God, we have spoken of heavy things and warnings and stern warnings from your words. You have spoken these words to your people. I pray that you would work through the power of your Spirit in their lives to grant to them repentance and faith. That we would not cling to our foolish sins that entangle us, or the folly that we love so much, but instead we would turn and you would pour out your Spirit upon us, and you would bless us and help us to dwell and make us to dwell in safety upon the rock that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this supper as we come to it. Pray that you would enable us to take it in a worthy manner, and we pray that you would help us to drink of the cup of blessing and eat of the bread of life. Unto eternal life we pray. Amen. Please be seated.